Hi, this is Pastor Bob Yandian. Did you know that you are a minister as much as I am? I might stand in a pulpit, I might be before congregations, I might be teaching a Bible school somewhere, but your pulpit is your life. And just as I have to depend on God in my ministry, so do you in yours. We're going to talk today about entering into the rest of God. That is my position of ministry, it's your position of ministry, and then ministering from that place of rest. Let's go to the Word of God together.
For more than 40 years, Bob Yandian has been an expositor of the Bible, making seemingly complicated doctrine easy to understand. Grab your Bible and something to take notes with and study the Word of God with Pastor Bob Yandian.
Hello and welcome again to Student of the Word with Pastor Bob Yandian. It's great to have you here today. I pastored for 33 years. I've taught in Bible schools 4 years before that, every year. 10 years ago, 12 years ago, from the time that I stepped down from pastoring the church, I have continued to teach at Bible schools, share in churches, and ministry is just part of me. You know, I'm used to standing in front of people and ministering, but oftentimes people say, well, that's your calling, that's your place, you know, and that's where you minister, but I'm different. Well, to be honest with you, your pulpit is wherever you are. I mean, if you work in a factory somewhere, or you work in an office behind a desk, you meet with people all throughout the day, that's your ministry. You're as much a minister as I was standing behind the pulpit, because God doesn't select the great ones to stand in front of people and all the peons, you know, get in the back and you have jobs and stuff throughout society. No, God's never intended that. In fact, we are all equal ministers of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the rules don't change from one person to another. That's what I'm beginning to see. And what I'm sharing more with the people is, you know, what I do, you can do also. I just have a call to stand in front of people, minister every week to them. But you have a calling every day to stand in front of people, whether you go to work, you know, like I said, in an office or a factory or wherever you are. This is the purpose of what I'm going to talk on today. And I'm going to talk about ministering from a place of rest. I have ministered this to pastors, but it just struck me one day, this is no different speaking to people, you know, across a desk or having lunch with somebody, you know, and sharing about your life with Jesus. It's no different. And you may think, well, pastors have a higher calling and they have a, you know, more of an anointing. No, we don't. We have an anointing to do what God's called us to do. And listen, I'm as much in full-time Christian ministry as you are, and you are as I am. And God, I'm not going to get to heaven. God's going to have a special place over here and a higher place for pastors and evangelists and those who fulfill the fivefold ministry. You know, He's going to have the same opportunity for you, and your blessings will be just like mine. And honestly, to take the things that I preach from the pulpit and go out and share them with other people across the table is part of the whole thing. Say, yeah, but I want to get stuff on my own. There's no such thing as getting things on your own. We get it from the Bible. We get it from the Holy Spirit. We get it from other people. You think my sermons just suddenly pop out of thin air? No, I've got authors I read after and others that are still alive today, yet others that died years ago. Some of them died, you know, a century ago. But the Word lives on because the Word of God lives and abides forever. And so I get it from them. So taking it from a minister and breaking it down into something you can share with people, especially those that really impress you, those sermons that, you know, you grab hold of and you can't forget it. You walk out of the church. The Holy Spirit's trying to tell you, use this. This is something, if it resounded inside of you, it'll resound inside of somebody you're talking to. And so doing that. And understand this too. I mean, people often say, well, how do I witness? Well, you know, use the Word of God. Don't preach a sermon at them, but use the principles from the Word of God, and then whatever you tell them, line it up with the Word. It's all right to mention a verse of Scripture in the Bible, just don't preach the Bible to them, because the Word of God tells us to the unbeliever what we have is foolishness. We certainly don't want to preach foolishness, but we do want to give enough that where the verse we are quoting or the section we're talking about is so simple that a fool couldn't err in it. In other words, a sinner will understand it. I want you to turn with me to Numbers chapter 11. We're going to take a look at verses 13 through 15, and we're going to look at Moses, one of the greatest ministers in the Word of God, but understand he went through the same problems you do. And there was a day, one day, while he's out leading the people, and they were griping and complaining, and they wanted food, so God sent them food. Then they began to gripe and complain about the food, and what happened with Moses at the end of his life before he died, he realized something, you know, they've griped all these 40 years. They have not one time trusted God. And that's brought out in the New Testament. Hebrews brings out the same thing, that they continually complain. They never quit complaining. And even though some of them died around there and the fear of God came on them, they were right back to complaining the next day. And they even said, we wish we were back in Egypt. Oh yeah, let's go back where they beat us and they killed us and they whipped us and they made us make bricks and we built the, you know, the monuments and everything in Egypt. And here we are out here. And oh yes, we have a cloud to cover us by day. We have heat by night. We have food every single day. God has led us and we're going to a place called the Promised Land. This is worse than back in Egypt. No, it's not. I mean, that's just the excuses they gave. And there was times when Moses just finally had it up to here and with the griping of the people. And what Moses discovered is brought out in the book of Hebrews, and we'll bring that out also. And their plans again and the things they came through are for you. So we're offering the book of Hebrews. I'm offering the book of Hebrews, and the reason why is because what I'm teaching is covered in two major chapters, chapter 3 and chapter 4 of Hebrews, of learning to enter into rest, and especially in the area of your ministry. Minister from a position of resting in the promises of God and resting in your trust from God, and not out there with some planned sermon that you talk to people who don't know Jesus and trying to take the sermon and break it down so anybody can understand across a table. No, take the sermon and share from your own heart what it meant to you. In other words, make it personal. Because when I preach, it's personal with me. When other ministers minister, it's personal with them. And so the reason why we're offering Hebrews is because although it's a very doctrinal book, it's broken down where you can easily understand it. And I think every book is written for everybody. There's no such thing as even minister's books. We talk about Timothy and Titus and books like that. Oh, those are pastoral epistles. Well, we say that, but there's no name above. It doesn't say to Timothy, a pastoral epistle. No one else should read this except for pastors. No, even though it's directed toward them, in your own respect, you are a pastor. In your own respect, you are a prophet. In your own respect, you are an evangelist spreading the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so let's talk about that, all right? And that's why the book's being offered. And again, I think there's not a book of the Bible that you can't read and can't understand, even though some of them seem difficult. If you'll get yourself some good books to help you with it, that help break it down, you'll see that God made the Word of God simple. Numbers chapter 11, finally getting there. Let's talk about this. Does Moses sound like you? Numbers chapter 11, verses 13 through 15 says, Moses is complaining to God, says, where am I to get food to give to all these people? They weep all over me, saying, give us food that we can eat. I'm not able to bear all these things. I'm not able to bear these people alone because the burden is too heavy for me. If you treat me like this, please kill me here and now if I have found favor in your sight, and do not let me see my own wretchedness. Here was Moses griping and complaining and saying, I can't do this. This is impossible. It's too heavy for me. You've asked me to do something that's almost impossible. Well, let me just tell you this. Everything in the Christian life is impossible. Why do you think we have the Holy Spirit? And why do you think we have the Word of God? Because to share Jesus Christ to a world that thinks it's foolishness takes the anointing of the Holy Spirit, the guidance of the Holy Spirit. It takes the conviction of the Holy Spirit. All God is looking for is a mouthpiece, and that's you. But you somehow think it's up to you to lead them to Christ. No, it's up to you to give them the gospel. It's up to the Holy Spirit to lead them to Christ. Then it's up to their own decision to accept Jesus Christ. When they get born again, you didn't get them born again. The Holy Spirit births them into God's kingdom. It's only up to you to share information. It was only up to Moses to follow God in his leadership. It wasn't up to Moses to split the Red Sea. That was God's doing. It wasn't up to Moses to turn the bitter waters to sweet when they crossed the Red Sea. No, that was God that did that. And no matter what it was the calling down, you know, every day of manna from heaven. That wasn't Moses' job. And he's now saying, this is too heavy for me. Well, yeah, if you're supposed to do God's job, then it is too heavy for you. He asked you to do the simple things by simply presenting the information to an unbeliever. It's up to the Holy Spirit to convict them and all of that. So it comes back to it. What God wants is less of you and more of Him. Psalm 46 in verse 10 says, be still. You know what the word be still means? Stop trying to do everything. Be still doesn't mean just sit there and do nothing. It means quit trying to dominate or think it's all up to you or come totally prepared. You come there and you depend on the Holy Spirit when you are speaking to others about Jesus Christ. Be still. Stop. Quit trying to do everything and know, realize that I am God, not you. I'm going to say that again. Stop trying to do everything and realize that I am God. In other words, you're not God. Quit trying to be God and quit trying to do what God can do. It's up to me to convict them. No, it's up to you just to give them the gospel. It's up to the Holy Spirit to convict them. Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 3 says, but we who have believed do enter into that rest. Here is your command. What God is saying for you to do is there's a foundation of rest in your life, but you have to enter into it. It's like it's right there. I have a pulpit. You know, when I stand behind that pulpit, it's up to me to walk over to that pulpit. And from that pulpit, I minister. I have a daily pulpit when I meet with people, when I talk to people. I was in Walmart one day. The lady behind the counter there, she didn't look like the happy Walmart worker. No, she had a somber look on her face. She hardly knew I was there. And I just looked at her and said, is there something wrong? She said, my daughter's sick. She's in the hospital. And she said, and I have to come here to work because I just don't have enough money. She says, and I have to be here, but I want to be there with her. And she just, you know, she was ready to burst into tears. And I said, I'm a Christian. I believe in Jesus. And I said, are you a Christian? She said, yes. I said, let's put our trust in him. I grabbed her hand in front of people that were in the line behind me. I grabbed her hand and I prayed for her. And she suddenly had a smile on her face after I prayed for her. I never saw her after that, but I plan on seeing her in heaven. In other words, at that moment, I didn't invent something. I took what I knew to do, and I had a clearance on the inside to do it. I just prayed for her daughter's healing. Now, when it comes to witnessing, I do the same thing. In other words, it's up to me to only present the information. I depend on the Holy Spirit who might give me something to add to it. I depend on the Word of God in case there's a scripture that comes to me. But in the meantime, I am just standing there. It was my choice, like entering into a pulpit, to enter into rest. I have to choose to do it. Rest is not only trusting God's Word, but trusting in the Holy Spirit. God made witnessing so simple. He provided the information from the Word and he provided the power from the Holy Spirit to do it. God's rest is not just for the listeners, but also for the one that's sharing. So the person that's there, if your words are being shared by the Holy Spirit, from the Holy Spirit, from the Word of God, it will bring a peace and a rest to the one listening and they'll open up. Usually more anxiety is found in the one sharing the message than the one hearing the message. And that's true from the pulpit when ministers do it, but it's also true when you, as a minister of the Lord Jesus Christ, share the gospel with someone else. God intends that the message to be shared from an attitude of rest should be presented not in anger, not in anxiety, not in fear, but from a position of rest, showing them. In other words, the people pick up on your attitude as much as they pick up on your message. In fact, sometimes more your attitude. They're not only wanting to hear a testimony, they're wanting to see it in front of them. If this guy really does trust God and all these things are true, it should come out in his attitude, in her attitude, and that's what God expects. The main purpose of living for Jesus and helping others is not to make you look good. We often think, in fact, ministers do this, how did I look? How did I act? How was my sermon? And that's not the point. It's what you shared that is important. It is to witness to unbelievers and to mature, arm, and equip others believers for life and tell the unbeliever about Jesus. What comes from the pulpit is that what's what comes from you. It's your job toward the unbeliever to give them the gospel of Jesus Christ and for the believers to mature and arm them so the unbeliever can know about Jesus and the believer can become stronger in the things of God. I'll see you right after the break.
The first Hebrew believers turned Jerusalem and the world upside down. But in 70 short years, they had become bogged down in legalism by mixing Judaism and Mosaic law with their faith. This tainted doctrine crept into the rest of the church and provoked Paul to respond with an intricate and astounding revelation of Jesus Christ. In this New Testament commentary on Hebrews, Bob Yandian employs historic, biblical detail and subtleties in the original Greek to dissect Paul's brilliant argument for the superiority of Jesus Christ, the mature believer's walk, the reality of authority, and the importance of faith. To order this New Testament commentary on Hebrews, visit our website at bobyandian.com. Bob Yandian Ministries is training up a new generation in the Word of God. Because of your generosity and faithfulness, this teaching ministry is able to change countless lives. You will never know until you get to heaven how many people received Jesus, were filled with the Holy Spirit, healed, or found God's will for their life through your support and prayers. If you would like to become a partner with Bob Yandian, visit our website at bobyandian.com and click on Partnership.
You know, I told you that whenever you begin to witness to somebody or you share about Jesus Christ, there's a pulpit called Rest, and he talks about entering into that rest. And so that is your choice. You have to do that. It's not something that comes on you. It's not something that God drops on you. You choose to enter into rest from whatever you're doing. If you're going to pray for somebody, enter into a rest. It's not up to you to heal the person. It's up to you to pray, and the Holy Spirit comes, the power of God comes, and heals the person. All God is looking for is an entryway in there, and you are the entryway. But you do that by entering into that pulpit called Rest. And so he says, enter into rest. That's what God told them there in chapter 4 of Hebrews, that they did enter into rest, and many of them failed to enter into rest. And that's exactly the problem with the thing when we saw Moses complaining to God, it's up to me, it's up to me. It's not up to you. It's only up to you to minister what the Word says in the power of the Holy Spirit, but let it be from a life filled with rest, to where they see that rest inside of you. So how does a Christian enter into rest? I keep saying this, and the Bible says to enter into rest, but how do you do it? Isaiah tells us in Isaiah chapter 28, verses 9 through 12, and especially prophetically, he talks about the day of Pentecost, and he talks about the church age we're living in, of which this should be the dominating time, one of the greatest times in all of church history, to be able to move into that place of rest and that place of power in witnessing. No place else in the Word of God did God give power for them to witness. Although Israel was to witness to the world, God didn't send them special power to do it, but he did with us. Before Jesus left, he said, go to the upper room and wait for the Holy Spirit, and you shall receive power after the Holy Spirit's come upon you to be my witnesses. He's given us not only a supernatural way to witness with our mouth, with boldness, but he's also given us the things of laying on of hands and casting out of devils and seeing people get healed. These are things we can do to help bring the gospel of Jesus Christ to them. Isaiah 28 says in verses 9 through 12, whom shall he teach knowledge? And with whom will he make to understand the message? Those who are weaned from the milk and drawn from the breast. He said the best witnesses are those who are no longer on the milk of God's word, that are still on the breasts of God's word, and begin to move into the meat of God's word, which is the word itself. Verse 10, for precept must be upon precept, precept upon precept, line upon line, here a little, there a little. The way we prepare for anything in life is studying the word of God, a line at a time, a precept at a time, here a little, there a little. And we do this every day. This is where we start entering into the meat of God's Word, when we start studying the Word of God for ourselves. It's going to take books, like the book that I'm offering, and other books that I have, or other books by other authors, and to where you can take them, mark them up, and when you see something that blesses you, underline it, color it in, make notes over on the side. And then he goes on and says, but I've also given you something else to enter into that rest, something else to enter into God's power in verse 11, for with stammering lips and another tongue, he will speak to this people. You want guidance while you're ministering to people? He says, start off before you ever get there. Start your day off throughout the day when you're by yourself and have time. Pray with stammering lips and another tongue. And he says, he will speak to this people. He's speaking prophetically of something that would happen. And this happened on the day of Pentecost. For with stammering lips and another tongue, he, God, will speak to this people. That's you. You want direction from God, instruction from the Holy Spirit? One of the greatest ways to open up your life and be sensitive to the guidance and leadership of the Holy Spirit is by praying in other tongues. Verse 12 goes on to say, to whom he said, this is the rest. Oh, here it is. This is the rest with which you may cause the weary to rest, and this is the refreshing. You want to walk into that pulpit called rest like I talked about? That was my pulpit to minister to people. Your pulpit in front of the world. Your pulpit in front of those you work with. Your pulpit in front of your family that doesn't know Jesus. Your pulpit in front of Christians that are having struggle in their life is a pulpit called rest, because what they're looking for is a rest in their own life. And when the person ministering to them has walked into that rest, this is the rest which you may cause the weary to rest, and this is the refreshing. What is the rest and what is the refreshing? It's stammering lips to another tongue and the Holy Spirit being able to speak to you. And in the midst of witnessing, the Holy Spirit can give you something to say. It's happened to me so many times. As I've shared with people about the gospel, something will come to me that I think, well, that's interesting. It applies. So I'll go ahead and give it. But it nailed them. They looked at me when I said this, because all of a sudden I began to open up something in their life. Jesus was witnessing to a woman at a well. And he began to share things that the Holy Spirit was giving him. And then a word of knowledge came. He said, not only, you know, are you not married, but the one you're living with now, you're not married to. And you had five other husbands before this one. She freaked out and said, you must be a prophet. Well, that's what really opened her up to receive Jesus, was the supernatural. Witnessing is not intended to be natural, not something you memorize 7 points on how to witness. It's trusting the Holy Spirit, sharing your life, sharing your experience with them. And when that happens, and they especially see the rest inside of you, you can talk about the anxiety that God brought you out of, the fear that God brought you out of, and brought you into a life filled with rest. And that's what the world is looking for. These verses are a template for preparation to minister to those you see every single day. First of all, study God's word line by line. This produces faith. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. Next of all, pray in the Holy Spirit. This is praying in tongues, stammering lips in another tongue. This produces rest. The first deacons that were chosen in Acts chapter 6 were two things: full of faith, that's the word of God, and full of the Holy Spirit. They prayed in the Spirit. The first two that were mentioned, Stephen and Philip, went into a full-time ministry after that, and I'm talking pulpit ministry and also an evangelistic ministry. Searching the word and praying in the Holy Spirit is not only true for study, but preparation to be God's witnesses. We think of those verses, we think ministry, that's me standing behind a pulpit, teaching a class and no, it's the pulpit is your place of rest, and your congregation is the world out there that needs Jesus as Lord and Savior, or the Christians out there that aren't trusting God every day and need someone to help them as far as preparation for life and becoming the follower of Jesus that He wants you to be. My more successful sermons have always been when I listen to the Holy Spirit. My unsuccessful sermons were due more to a lack of prayer than to a lack of study. My biggest mistakes in the pulpit has been to overstudy and underpray. I was more concerned with my delivery to teach every single point than the anointing of the Holy Spirit and my attitude of rest coming through. I often unknowingly left out a point that the Holy Spirit used later in another sermon. I mean, I have walked away from a sermon knowing it was a home run, looked at my notes and think, Bob, you idiot, you left that whole section out. You just bypassed right over it and didn't even know it. And not knowingly, it was the Holy Spirit who guided me to do so, because that part of that sermon fit into another sermon I was later going to preach, and it fit into it perfectly. And I saw it at that time. I remembered it and brought it out in that sermon. The Holy Spirit knows what He's doing. The most important thing is not people walking out talking about what the wonderful skill of your message, how great it was. It was to walk out the door going, boy, He nailed me today. I didn't. The Holy Spirit threw me. I walked into that pulpit, started resting in God and trusting in the Holy Spirit and trusting in the promises of God I was about to preach. And God took over that sermon and changed people's life. I was only a tool being used in the hand of God, the Holy Spirit, and the power of the Word of God. My people needed more of the anointing and less of my teaching skill. And sometimes all we want them to see is our teaching skill. The anointing of the Holy Spirit can take one sermon and divide it up 500 different ways. There was a time our congregation ran 500, went to 1,000, and grew even past that point later on. But the point of it was, as I was ministering, there would be people come to me. I laugh about it till today. I think about people come up after the sermon and say, "Pastor, let me tell you what I got out of that sermon. You nailed my life today." And they'll tell me something that they got out of the sermon. I smile, I nod, I look at them, but while they're talking, my thought is this: how did they get that out of that sermon? And someone else will come up and tell me something. And I'll think, how did you get that out of my sermon? And I realize that once it comes out of my mouth, the Holy Spirit can divide it up 500, 2,000, 5,000 different ways. And everybody can walk out with something different that the Holy Spirit shared with them. But the point I was supposed to get was simply resting in God, preaching what He told me to preach, preaching in the way He wanted me to preach, and most of all, to teach it from an attitude of rest. It comes back to this: life is your pulpit, and you are in the full-time ministry too. You may not stand in the office of pastor or evangelist, but there's a little pastor inside of you. There's a little evangelist inside of you to share the gospel with others. Your ministry is unique compared to my ministry or anybody else's ministry. Where you work and how you approach that is unique. Every person you talk to is unique, but the Holy Spirit can guide you every single time to where you can share with them out of an attitude of rest and see people's lives changed. The Holy Spirit ministers strongly out of an attitude of rest. You get frustrated with yourself and think, how am I supposed to do that? This is impossible. Yes, witnessing is impossible. That's why you need the Holy Spirit. Witnessing is impossible. That's why you need the rest of the Holy Spirit and the rest on the Word of God on each promise. It comes back to this: do you really love other people above yourself? During preparation of going into the world, lean on the Holy Spirit and prayer. Because why? Your main concern is those people need Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. You're as much of a minister as those behind the pulpit, and this is your personal ministry. Colossians chapter 4 and verse 12 says this: Epaphras, who is one of you, a servant of Christ, greets you. Epaphras was the pastor at Colossae. And Paul says he's a servant of Christ. He greets you, always laboring fervently for you in prayers, that you may stand mature and complete in all the will of God. Notice he goes to the Lord fervently in prayer for you, that you may stand mature. He was interested in the people more than himself. He wasn't walking away from the pulpit saying, "Well, I hope that was a great sermon." He walked away from there saying, "Holy Spirit, I trust you can use everything that I said and help somebody's life." So praying in tongues during study is so important. Speak to God before you speak to the people. By faith, enter into rest before you go into your own personal world of preaching the gospel in a pulpit, but your world is your pulpit. Stay in that rest and peace when you talk to others and minister to them. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verses 2 through 4, "He that speaks in an unknown tongue does not speak to men but to God, for no one understands him. Howbeit, in the Spirit he speaks mysteries. But he who prophesies," this would also include your preaching and talking to people, "he who prophesies," this includes the Holy Spirit's anointing in a sermon or upon what you're speaking to someone else, "speaks edification and exhortation and comfort to men. He who speaks in tongues edifies himself, but he who prophets edifies the church." So he's saying here again, when you speak in tongues, you edify yourself. But when you stand there and give a sermon to somebody or just talking to them, it edifies them. A good gospel presentation is not just one where you feel spiritual. A good gospel presentation may leave the other people quiet. You finish at rest, assured you've done God's will, leaving the results in the hands of the Holy Spirit. Don't look at their faces. Don't look at what they're saying. You just simply trust in the Holy Spirit that He took and supernaturally will set that person free. Thank you today, and do enter into that rest of God.
You can order resources, become a partner, or browse free articles and podcasts by visiting our website at bobyandian.com. You can also join our mailing list and receive weekly devotions and the latest ministry updates. If you would like to contact Bob Yandian Ministries, visit bobyandian.com and click on Contact. To contact us by mail, use the address on your screen. Thank you for watching today's broadcast. We'll see you next time on Student of the Word with Bob Yandian.